Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and this is our eighth lecture in the book of Genesis. Today we are in Genesis chapter 7, picking up our study in verse 13, and the flood in Noah's day is about to begin. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark, to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God shut the door to that ark. Not Noah. It was Noah's business to preach and tell people how to get saved. It was God's business to shut the door of salvation on those who wouldn't listen. And you can bet that God kept that door open for as long as he possibly could. 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. No matter how high the judgment waters rose, God kept the ark just a little bit higher. Same with us today, no matter how many sins we are guilty of, if Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, if we have asked him to save our soul from hell, then the grace of God and the forgiveness of God is just a little bit greater than all of our guilt. Verse 18. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. One wave after another swept across the world. I wonder how many laps Noah and company did around the earth before this thing ended. 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. There are liberal theologians out there who aren't even saved, and they don't believe the Bible, and the devil uses them. The devil uses them to trap nominal Christians in their lost conditions. These liberal theologians say, well, this wasn't a worldwide flood. It was a local flood. No, really. Well, I wonder what God meant when he said, all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. Sounds like a worldwide flood. But anything to undermine the authority of Scripture. Satan has been doing that since the Garden of Eden. Has God really said? Eve, did God really say? You sure he said that? You couldn't eat from every fruit? He's still doing the same thing, only he's using liberals standing behind pulpits to do it today. Verse 20. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. This was pretty close to being a total reversal of the entire creation week, actually. With the exception of the ark, the entire earth looked the way it did on day one. Nothing but water everywhere. 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. So the flesh of all creatures who breathed there perished, except for those in the ark. The fish did not die, but everything else did. Everything that breathed died. 24. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. For 150 days, the waters covered the earth without receding a single inch. Now, I don't know what it was like in that ark with all those animals for 150 days, but somehow they made it. You know, it's easy to be content in unpleasant situations when the only alternative is much worse. And so maybe it wasn't too rough when they considered what was going on outside the ark. Some people say that must have been just too wild in there. Well, could be that God caused the animals to hibernate. That would have been nice, because they would have ate less food and all that goes along with that. Plus, they would have been content. And so, that's a possibility. I hope they hibernated anyway, because Noah and family probably appreciated a nice long break after all the building that they did. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. It's not that he forgot him. Not that God forgot Noah for a period of time. It says God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided him. God never forgot Noah. This simply means it's time for God to act on behalf of Noah. God never forgets about us. He always acts on our behalf at the exact right time. Now, maybe Noah, you know, after being on that ark for so many months, he might have started to think, well, I wonder if God did forget about me. That was always a temptation, I suppose, but he didn't. Verse 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. It would have been easier for Noah and company to get out of that boat and start a new life if God would have caused it to land on flat land, I suppose. If he would have caused the boat to rest on flat ground, it would have been easier. But God has a reason for all that he does. And I can tell you this, if preserving the ark was God's goal, Mount Ararat was the perfect spot for it to rest, because it is covered with snow and ice. Verse 6. So it came to pass, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro, until the waters had dried up from the earth. The raven is a meat-eating bird. Ravens eat rotting flesh. That's why this one never returned to Noah. The raven never saw so much delicious food floating around. There was no need for it to return to the boat. Are you kidding? The raven thought, I'm staying out here. Verse 8, he also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to him. Or into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. Doves are more particular than ravens. Doves won't eat rotting flesh, and they won't even stand on it. Consequently, after the dove got tired of flying, it returned to the ark. It had no choice. It wasn't going to land on a dead carcass. Verse 10. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Verse 11. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. When all you see is water, you have no way of gauging how deep the water is, or if it's still rising, or if it's getting a little more shallow. Noah wants to know what's happening out there with this flood. He has no way of knowing. Well, now he knows. The olive branch proves that the water is abating. Verse 12. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. God judged man's sin, and now it's time for a fresh start. There was once again peace between man and God. The olive branch in the dove's mouth was proof that the judgment was over. You probably know that the olive branch is actually a worldwide symbol of peace. This is where that came from. Verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. It was dry, but it was like a different planet. The world Noah walked out of when he entered the ark was a beautiful tropical environment. The world he walked into after leaving the ark was empty and looked pretty hostile. 15. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your son's wife with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. And so exactly 378 days after entering the ark, Noah and company, including the animals, leave the ark. And no one had a clue where they were either, because everything looked different. I mean, this is what you call a new beginning, brand spanking new. And we'll pick up there next time. Until next time, Michael Moret here. So long, everyone.